Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything that nerdy that happened in the week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for fun afterwards. Explicit content warning may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages, so we'll be cussing and stuff, so you've been warned. We're going to ride out the beat, guys. What up, what up, what up, my nerdy peeps?
Hello, how are you?
I'm pretty good. So just a little warning, guys. You guys might hear a little fuzzy sound. It's really hot out here in Sacramento, California, and we're just not willing to go without that air conditioner.
Yeah, but we won't have to deal with a noisy air conditioner anymore starting tomorrow.
What?
Because
why is that?
We will be in our very own apartment with central heating and air.
Awesome.
As opposed to this garbage situation we live in now where there's no central heating or air. So in the summer it's fucking 1,000 degrees in here, and in the winter it's negative fucking Celsius 20,000 degrees. Fucking old dusty vagina in here. Anyway,
that's
a great segue into our Keeping Up with the Nerdy Boys segment. Talk about your tooth again.
Yeah, dude. So as you guys knew last time, the treacherous dentist has pulled a tooth of mine. The little thieving bastard.
Dr. Octopus?
Dr. Octopussy. And he stole another tooth of mine because, you know, back in the day, I broke my tooth.
Did he leave you money?
No. Little fuck. But not to fret anybody. It's not in my front teeth, so you can't even see them. They're in the back. They're on the bottom. They're tucked away. You guys can't see them. I'm not like some toothless hillbilly bastard out there.
Dude.
Yeehaw!
This lady has been like detailing this boat where I work.
Yeah.
She's come in the past like 3 days, and she is missing teeth everywhere.
Really? That's
like,
so funny.
Fucking summer teeth, dude. Some are here, some are there.
Oh,
but they're not all where they need to be.
Oh, snap. I mean, so other than dental problems moving in, do we have anything else? I mean, we're going to the Sacramento Republic game tomorrow night, as
that.
Well as signing our lease, getting our keys, and moving in tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be a really busy day. It's Friday, you know.
Yeah.
Had a tough work week. Can't really get into it too much. No specifics can be said. You know, the struggle of being a supervisor and having to uphold HIPAA policy. So,
I don't have to do any of that. So I can talk about how apathetic I am at work. Because, you know, when you've been at a certain job for a large amount of time, you know, you get to a point where you just don't care anymore. Like, you see that your hard work hasn't paid off and you feel like the job can go fuck itself. But, like, you're still polite to customers, to their faces. But
right.
Behind their back, you're just like, go fuck yourself. I hate you. You're a piece of shit. Fucking eat a dick.
Right.
And it's great. Like, I love getting off the phone and telling people, like, it's like just saying, what a fucking cunt. Like,
right.
I cannot stand some people. Like, especially entitled people who assume, like, you're just there to fucking lick their dick when they want you
lick
to
their
and
dick
shit.
Keys.
Like, oh my God, like that's what I work with. And we had a boat show today. If you guys don't know what a boat show is, it's like a gun show, but for boats. All these different vendors, people selling boats, people selling boat insurance, people selling parts for boats, mechanics, all these people come out and they run this big event. And if you're a big, you know, vendor like NorCal Mastercraft, who, you know, they are the premier Mastercraft dealer in all of Northern California, and you can spend $10,000 to show your boats at something like this, which, by the way, my company gets no money from. We just get inconvenience throughout the day. That's a thing, too. So,
sick, dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
know.
Because, you know, that's a good business model.
Pretty in-depth there, yeah. But, yeah, today I got away from some of the madness. I got to do one of the jobs where I get to go out and walk the docks and do all this stuff. And this guy signed up a couple days ago, and he was straight on drugs. I don't know. But he was a cool guy. He was really nice, and he got this wicked paint job on his boat of the Joker, like releasing all these cards, and it looks really good. And I feel bad for him because his boat is gonna get trashed on the dock. So
probably.
Anyway, the brilliance of not having HIPAA policy.
Yeah,
I can talk
buddy.
Bad about people.
Oh man, I wish. Oh man, I'm chomping at the bit to just go off at the moment. Yeah. But I mean, other than, you know, work shenanigans, dental, moving, sack, you know, it's, soccer games, and just, you know, lady troubles and stuff.
Just real
quick. That's about it for me, I think. Oh, you're counting the monies. Ooh.
Yeah. Just get that out of the way, you know, just pass
Christian
on a lot of money.
Over here just, you know, doing like some drug dealer type move, saying, hey, bro, here's the 20.
Hey, you need to be quiet for a little bit, all right? Will this be enough? And Scott's just like, another 100.
Give me another 100.
Yeah, you know, it's fun when you're moving and you just feel like you have money, and then, you know, in a couple weeks you're going to be like, aw. So, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else really to talk about with keeping up with the Nerdy Boys. Not a whole lot's gone on this week, just working and stuff.
Yeah, but like I said, lady troubles, that's about it.
Lady troubles. Not like we're not ladies who have, you know, menstrual problems. That's not what it means, but, you know, yeah, problems with ladies.
Yes, yeah. That's about it.
But there were some fitties at work today. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Nice. Did you crack on, lad?
I didn't, because I didn't get a chance to escape except when I was on the dock. And then, okay, all right, this is awful, but there was a ranger boat, which is like a bass boat. It was in one of the empty slips, and so they're not going to store their boat with us. So normally I'd be like, you need to leave, right? But there were two people in it sleeping. There was a young, not really young, but there was a black gentleman in the driver's seat who probably weighed 150 pounds, and there was a black woman in the passenger seat on top of him who probably weighed about 300 pounds.
Oh, Jesus.
And they were sleeping. And I was just like, all right, I'm just going to keep walking and pretend this never happened.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's good employee work right there. That's quality, mate.
I passed on the information, so, you know, I didn't just let it stay. But, you know.
Should have asked them to use, like, excuse me.
Name is Commissioner Gordon.
My name is Commissioner Gordon.
You have my word.
You have my word. You cannot stay here.
Anyway, I think we should just hop into our news.
Yes, sir.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
All right, cool beans. Warner Brothers Pictures and DC Films Aquaman cast has added another superhero in the form of Power Rangers star Ludi Lin, if you can call him a star, who Deadline reports will play Merc, co-created by DC Extended Universe head honcho Geoff Johns. Merc is the leader of the frontline army of Atlantis, known as the Men of War.
What? That's sick.
Yeah. You didn't like his acting in Power Rangers.
No, I'm not, you know, a fan of the actor of the, you know, but
The character
yeah. In the movie, I'm, you know, pretty happy with.
Yeah. All right. Just adding on to that, for Aquaman, Amber Heard, who's playing Mara, we all know that. They released a picture of her this week, and what a fucking chava.
What a fucking chava. Can he fit both? Lad.
Fucking hell. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen the picture, you can find it on our Instagram page, on our Facebook page, on our Twitter. It's everywhere, guys. We posted it.
It's everywhere. Just another reason for you guys to be following us. We release pictures because we don't necessarily talk about them on our podcast. We don't think they're worthy of segments for them necessarily. So we usually just mention that they're on there, on our social media. Go check them out if you haven't already seen them. Follow us. All that good stuff.
Right. And just as a part of that, kind of. Before we get into this next piece of news, there were three trailers released this week. The Gifted trailer, Black Lightning, and there was another one that I'll remember in a second. And we'll probably be doing reaction videos sometime in the future. Same with Guardians of the Galaxy. We'll be reviewing that sometime in the future. Just with moving this weekend, you know, we're fitting this in because we need to stay current because our finales are next week. But We will get to those, we promise. Just stay with us.
Right. And all the reaction videos, obviously, on YouTube. So we do have a Nerdy Boys Reviews YouTube page. So make sure you guys go subscribe to us. Check out all our videos. If you guys like the content, drop a like, drop a comment. Share our videos with your friends and help our YouTube page expand. Would be awesome, guys. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
So, in some CW news, Black Lightning is not a part of the CW's Arrowverse. Given the talent involved in the series and the network's It Calls Home, many assumed that the upcoming Black Lightning series was already a part of the CW's Arrowverse, including Arrow, The Flash, DC Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl. Speaking ahead of the network's upfront presentation, however, CW President Mark Pedowitz confirmed via EW interview that Black Lightning, which will premiere mid-season, is not a part of the extended network of superheroes. He said this in a quote. He said, "We do not aim to do a five-way crossover. Black Lightning at this time is not part of our Arrowverse. It is a separate situation, but there will be a big fourth quarter crossover with all four shows that are on in the fall." He went on to talk about the series itself, saying, "We're going to have something very unique in Black Lightning, but superhero shows will last as long as people want to watch them. It has lasted my whole lifetime, so I believe it will keep going." So with that being said, right, I think they hit a huge mistake. Huge mistake here. Huge mistake. Mm-hmm. Not include. He did say at this time, right? You have to take words that he's saying into consideration.
Yeah.
Right? He did say Black Lightning will not be a part of the Arrowverse at this time. It is a separate situation, right? And I think where people are getting confused with, you know, he go on to say that there will be a big fourth quarter crossover with all the four shows on in the fall, which I feel like should have been part of something else that he might have been saying. I think it needs to just be clear that no, Black Lightning is not part of the. I hate calling it the Arrowverse. Why are we calling it the Arrow? It's the CW-verse. It's DC TV, guys.
Yeah.
Let's stop calling it Arrowverse because, you know, just because...
Arrow was first, you know.
Arrow was first, or, you know, it was the flagship TV show or whatever. I don't think it should be called Arrowverse. I think it should be called the CW-verse or DC TV.
Yeah.
Many people already referred to that, but we've been trying to push that for a very long time now.
Yeah.
But with that being said... Black Lightning should be in the DC TV CW-verse. I'm wholeheartedly very disappointed with their decisions, and I think it's not just here, I feel, that they've been really messing up with decisions.
Oh, yes. I know where you're going with this.
Where am I going?
You want to talk about Constantine?
Yes. So, guys, as we know, Constantine is in the CW-verse. They... currently are streaming all of his episodes on the CW Seed app. You know, we're not sponsored by any of this stuff, by the way. But we're just letting you know. We do know that he has an animated series that's sort of involved, but I don't understand why. Why not just use him in his own show, take every slot of the week? We were talking with our friend Jamar this week about this and how we all felt that they've really messed up in, you know, and I'll give you a chance to, you know, comment on the Black Lightning about this. And Jamar went ahead and he was saying that he doesn't understand their decision making not to include this. And I mentioned Constantine, and he said along the lines of which I totally agree with, saying this network needs to realize that they have the opportunity to take up days every day of the week to gain viewership, to make it to where the viewers don't have to look to other networks to fill in their time, because, you know, that's what people do. They watch TV. They want an escape from life.
Yeah.
And that's where these shows come in. And superhero shows, better than anything, gives people a great escape. And that's why there's such a big market. And I think they're really dropping the ball by not adding Black Lightning into this universe. They're not giving Constantine a show, even though they already have a cast. And I believe they have rights to them now. Like, I don't under... like, what is going on with
Constantine? Yeah, Constantine was in Arrow.
It's very confusing. Mm. I don't know if they just did, like a one-time deal to let him include Constantine within the show. But it doesn't make sense. Why are they using their CW app to stream their episodes? Why do they have a, you know... why is it known that he's in this universe if they don't at least... have the possibility of gaining the full rights to him?
It's possible,
right?
Like, the show might be in the works at the CW, and then, you know, that is suggestive that he will be obviously part of this universe, because we know he already is, you know,
right?
And what, you know, for, like you were saying about, you know, they have the ability to do this, you know, every day of the week kind of thing, we will give you guys a full fleshed out in this podcast idea of how the schedule will look with these shows and with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans and stuff. That's all part of our news today. So just stand by for that. But with that being said, I don't believe that Black Lightning not being a part of the Arrowverse or CW-verse or DC TV, whatever you want to call it, I don't believe that will hurt Black Lightning, but I think it cuts off most of the potential for bigger things in the future.
Right. No. I don't want to be misunderstood by anybody. I don't think not being a part of the CW-verse makes Black Lightning a worse show, because I think this show is going to be, it has the potential to be phenomenal. It has the potential to be one of the best shows that they have.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, considering they have Arrow and they do have The Flash, you know, and unfortunately, you know, Supergirl is great as well now that the CW owns it. But it's still not as good as those. I do believe The Flash could, the Black Lightning show could compete with The Flash. And it could just be a really epic show.
Yeah.
And, and really the crossover possibilities. And I just think that it would be great. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they could easily explain his powers through the events of The Flash and stuff, things of that nature.
Yeah. But even if he gets the power from something separate, like it can all fit in. Like there is no question.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
There are infinite possibilities in this universe. So, there's no doubt that they could easily make it work, but perhaps they're trying something different. I don't know.
But what is your thought? Okay, we know that you don't think it's going to make Black Lightning a worse show. Do you think that the CW, in terms of building the expansive universe that we know as the Arrowverse, do you think it's hurting that?
I don't know necessarily if it'll hurt it, because, you know, even though Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends all take place in the same world, the time events that you know, the Flash changes or that the Legends change or all this stuff doesn't really seem to affect the other shows too much.
That we know of yet.
Yeah. I mean, aside from Flashpoint, that was the big one.
Right.
But it didn't necessarily change a whole lot. That we know of yet, obviously. But yeah, the Legends, nothing they do affects anybody, you know? Like, apparently, they just, you know,
we'll
create
see
this
about
weird
that,
future.
Though.
But yeah, we will see. Obviously, time is a little meh. But yeah, I don't think, like I said, I don't think it hurts or takes anything away from Black Lightning, and I think it'll be a phenomenal show. We'll have to wait and see that. But it does limit its potential to do these cool crossovers. You don't have to do a 5-night crossover or anything like that. All you really have to do to make this work the way you want it to work is do a crossover here or there with The Flash, do a crossover here or there with Arrow. You don't have to do them all together, you know, all these shows crossing over. Like Black Lightning showing up in National City to help Supergirl, which we know is on a different Earth, you know, that could happen, and it could make sense, and it could be done well. It's same with The Flash. You could go to Central City and help The Flash, like, or The Flash can go to his city. It can all work, but they're limiting the potential for that to work by saying that, you know, and obviously said at this time, which could mean, you know, to me, it was suggesting we're not looking to do these big crossovers. So right now we're not putting them in that same universe. But if they ever want to, they can.
Right.
So.
All right. I guess we should just move on then.
Yeah. So we're looking at the CW primetime schedule next year. Black Lightning is not on this because this is the fall schedule. Black Lightning comes mid-season. So. Monday, Supergirl, same time, 8:00. Tuesday, The Flash at 8, same time. And DC's Legend Tomorrow will be permanently in that 9:00 spot from now on, it looks like. Wednesday is the change. No more Arrow at 8. It is now Riverdale Wednesday at 8:00. And then Thursday, Arrow moves to a new night on Thursday and a new time, 9:00. Supernatural, obviously, keeping its same time slot it's always had, as far as I know.
Right.
Because that show's going to be on for like 75 seasons, and then we don't care about Friday's shows. So, what do you think of them moving Riverdale?
I think it's a huge mistake. Well, one, right? You got to think. There must be a reason. Maybe they aren't getting quite as much viewership as they would like on Arrow.
Maybe
at
Riverdale is just getting more.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I guess you just have to consider it from their standpoint. You know, it is a business, so you got to think about it that way. And they're hoping that, you know, Arrow has a devout following and that they'll just, no matter what, they'll migrate to that time and it's fine for them.
Do you think this
But
will...
I think it's going to hurt their viewership for sure.
You think this could be one of the last seasons of Arrow because of it?
Yeah, yeah. I do think that this could potentially cripple Arrow and this could essentially move into it being one of the last couple of seasons.
Right. Yeah, we're going to Just to round out the rest of the time or the time and date slots, the Inhumans series of 8 episodes will air Friday nights at 9 p.m. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will kick up afterward for Season 5 Friday nights at 9 p.m., which to me indicates it will be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s last season.
Right.
So
usually, generally, when TV shows start moving their time slots to later slots, it's due to a decrease in viewership. It's due to
And Friday night shows have the lowest viewership, so I don't think it'll improve at all there.
No.
So if you guys are interested, that is the full for at least shows. I mean, we'll probably talk about Inhumans a little bit and, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe, who knows, because we mostly dropped them. But that is what our schedule looks like for CW and for Marvel over there on Friday nights. So
some rare comic book news we get to talk about.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
We usually don't include it too much because we haven't read a lot, but this is big news, I think. So
okay, so DC Comics and Watchmen collide in Doomsday Clock. When DC Comics Rebirth Special No. 1 was released last year, it opened the door to a very special crossover, and since then, the publisher has been quietly building towards this moment. Now, DC Entertainment's CCO Geoff Johns has confirmed the worlds of the DCU and Watchmen will collide in the new miniseries event titled Doomsday Clock. Speaking with Sci-Fi Wire, Johns confirmed that the upcoming story is not a sequel to Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons' seminal comic series, but something else. He went on to say in a quote, it is Watchmen colliding with the DC universe. It is the most personal and most epic, utterly mind-bending project I have ever worked on in my career. With Rebirth, I've opened the door to Manhattan. Part of that, I love the real-world influence Watchmen has. I put Manhattan out there and always thought that there was a Manhattan/Superman story to be told, but then it grew and grew. It took my heart and soul over. Still, at the core of it, there's a being who has lost his humanity and distanced himself from it, and an alien who embodies humanity more than most humans. I love the idea that Watchmen influenced DC, but what would that look like in reverse? And it goes well beyond that. Johns will script the series, which has artist and frequent Johns collaborator Gary Frank on the pencils and Brad Anderson on the colors. John goes on to reveal the series won't be like other crossovers with no spinoffs, one shots, and additional comics to get the whole story, because that has been. I'll talk about that in just a
second.
I'll just keep going. We're not going to do a story like this unless we 1,000% believe in it. It is all about the story. It is only about the story. There's no crossovers, no watered down one shot, or a miniseries on top of this one. This is a standalone story. There is only Doomsday Clock. We had no interest in doing a crossover with this. We didn't want to see Dr. Manhattan facing off against Superman in Action Comics. With all due respect, that is not what this is about. It is about something different. It will have an impact on the entire DC universe. It will have an impact on everything moving forward and everything that has come before. It touched the thematic and literal essence of DC. That is a very powerful quote, guys.
Yeah, and that is why we include this, obviously. And yes, the spinoffs and the one-shots and all that stuff, like, Marvel does it too, but DC has been terrible about it. And
right.
It is the most heartwarming thing in the world that they are not going to do that with this series, and I will definitely be reading this series.
Oh,
I've been waiting for the since Rebirth, you know, the idea that it implied that Dr. Manhattan was responsible for Rebirth.
Right.
In a way. I mean, I haven't read a lot since Rebirth. I just read the event, and I haven't read a lot of individual comics since then, so I don't know how they've built up for this, but I can't wait to read it.
Well, so this is a big thing, too, because it does open the doorway for, like, different sort of storytelling, because we know these big comic book industries, you know, they're looking to make as much money as they can, but if they can efficiently drive up comic sales while telling what sounds to be a fantastic storyline that has lasting impacts before and after the events, and of course during the events, this could change the way that, you know, comic books are being thought of, because at the moment, you know, there are a ton of people that love reading comics, but it's just too expensive for them because they have to buy all these spin-offs. They have to buy all these one shots to get the entire picture. And, you know, they got basically, you know, with just buying the main story, they get something about equal to a puzzle that's missing like 20 pieces out of like a 100-piece set. So,
yeah.
You know, if that gives you any sort of indication, you have to buy all these different books in order to get the entire scope of exactly everything that happened. Yeah. And I don't feel like it should be that way. I mean, that's obviously something, if you've ever listened to our podcast a while ago when we were more or less talking about comics, it's something we really bitched about. And, you know, I know we've talked about it plenty of times. We know a lot of people that I'm sure when they read this article, they'll be super happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea that they're not doing all these spinoffs and one-shots, and, you know, and I can't wait for the series. You know, the idea of Superman and Dr. Manhattan, how they are kind of one is the juxtaposition of the other, is great. I mean,
yeah, it does, it honestly. And the way he posed it, man, I'm so hyped for the series, and I can't wait for it to drop. I'll definitely be buying it.
Yeah.
I don't buy a whole ton of comics anymore just because, you know, time factor. I just don't have a whole lot of time in my day anymore.
But I will be reading this for sure.
Yeah, dude, so. I will make time for this.
Just a piece that I forgot to mention with our schedule, like with the fall schedule we're looking at. The Gifted, as I mentioned, is the new X-Men series. The trailer came out this week. It will be airing on Monday on Fox, where Gotham usually airs. So Gotham is being moved to Thursdays at 8.
Right.
So Mondays, we'll have Supergirl at 8. Tuesday, The Flash, and then Legends. Wednesday, nothing. And then Thursday, Gotham and Arrow. So stupid. big news that came out today. Tom Hardy to play Venom, Ruben Fleischer to direct. Sony Pictures has officially signed Tom Hardy. If you guys know who he is, he's been in fucking everything.
Right.
He was in Mad Max Fury Road, Inception. He played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. He was Bronson in the movie Bronson. He has been in every movie in existence, guys.
Dude, he's been one of the hottest stars over the last, I would almost say, not quite 10 years, but about, I would say, 7 to 5 year range. He's been such a hot name out there. Like, everybody's clamoring to get him.
Yeah.
He's been in so many more big movies than, I think, maybe, is it Undisputed? The one's, like, about him and his brother's, like, an MMA fighter, and they're in the same tournament.
Might be that one, yeah.
Fighting to be, like, a champion or whatever. And then the one with Leonardo DiCaprio recently, he was in there.
He's in Dunkirk. That's coming out.
Jesus, man. So many movies that he's been in recently.
Before all these movies, probably 6 years ago, when I was reading the Darth Bane series, he would be my pick for Darth Bane in that.
Yeah.
After, because I saw him in Bronson. That was like the first movie I saw him in.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he'd be a great Bane with that bald head.
I mean, are you happy with Tom Hardy gonna be Venom?
To be honest, everybody's super hyped for this, and I can't get myself excited for it.
Why is that? I love Tom Hardy
and I think he'll be a great Venom. I just can't be excited. It's hard for me to be excited about a Venom movie with Spider-Man not in it. This movie is going to be separate from the Marvel Universe, which is what the rest of the article pretty much says. It's a standalone film. Sony's doing, has nothing to do with Marvel, has nothing to do with Tom Holland. It's hard for me, like, to, I love Tom Hardy, don't get me wrong. And I don't think any actor that they announced would have made me overly hyped for this movie. Or overly hyped for the character. I think he'll do a great job. I think he'll be a great Venom. I just can't be excited for this film, you know?
Right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I'll just mention, for you guys who don't know, I'm sure everybody knows because it's Venom, and everybody loves Venom, but first appearing in the comic book series as an alien costume worn by Spider-Man, Marvel's The Amazing Spider-Man 252 in 1984. It was several years before the creature left Peter Parker and merged with photographer Eddie Brock, who is who he's playing, by the way. It's Eddie Brock, not Flash Thompson, not Mac Gargan. It is Eddie Brock. That's important. forming the anti-hero known as Venom, since then the character has appeared in a variety of different forms and bonded with several different hosts. In the Ultimate Marvel Universe, the suit has a more terrestrial origin, created by Parker and Brock's scientist parents in an attempt to cure cancer. More recently, the Venom symbiote has been moving between hosts, including Matt Gargan, aka the Scorpion, and Peter Parker's old high school rival, Flash Thompson. Just real quick, too. They also so the movie's coming out October 5th next year, 2018, and they mentioned that it might have Carnage in it, and it'll be probably rated R. So,
I mean, that is a little bit better.
Yeah, good news.
Carnage. I mean, can't be excited about Carnage? Is like the greatest. So underrated. Guys.
Yeah.
Unless you actually read comic books, if you ask, say, who's Carnage, most people probably couldn't answer that.
A lot of people like Carnage who have some familiarity with comic books, even if they don't read it, but I guarantee you they know almost nothing about him.
Right.
But, yeah, I can get excited about that. I'm just wondering how they're going to make this movie work.
Right.
Is Venom going to be a hero? Or, you know, who's going to be the protagonist? I don't know. We'll see how it works. So that is all the news we have.
All right. So we're going to move into our shows. This week we got Gotham, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and that's it. Gotham, Season 3, Episode 18, Heroes Rise, Light the Wick. Gordon tracks down the weapon the Court of Owls intend to use for the destruction of Gotham. Catherine and Temple Shaman tell Bruce about their next move. Ivy offers Selina... What? Okay, first off, apparently this guy is the Temple Shaman. Because don't even know his name. So
he doesn't have a name, so he's just Temple Shaman.
And they don't tell Bruce anything.
I can you feel nothing.
Yeah, all he tells Bruce is that he can tell him what they can do for him, pretty much. And Ivy, when did Ivy offer her help to Selina?
She didn't offer it, she just gave it. Like, because, you know, Selina was really super dead, and then all of a sudden wasn't really super dead. So...
Sick.
Yeah, so essentially, guys, I was convinced for some reason that Selina was dead because she laid there for a really long time. And then the nurse pretty much said, nah, she's not dead yet, but she's going to die. I can't do shit for her. And then Ivy was like, watch this, I am crazy and I have plants. So,
woo, plant power, dude. Yeah. The environment, bro.
So, what did you think of
hashtag
this episode?
Green power, brother.
Brother.
Let's fight the man and save the environment. Yeah! That's not really cowboy, but all right.
Me and my cousin don't like wasting water, so we share together.
We share together. Oh, dude. Oh, no. All right, what'd you say?
What'd you think of this episode?
Oh, man. Just can't get into like the direction that they're moving.
You just hate the Court of Owls, huh?
Yeah, I do, man. I really, really do.
Well, okay, let me correct that. He doesn't hate the Court of Owls. He hates what Gotham is doing with the Court of Owls. Correct. Like how they function in the comic books, right?
That,
but you hate how they how they've adapted that to screen. Well, what'd you think of the Talon versus Executioner? In the beginning.
Woot, woot. I'm going to punch you.
Did you like that fight scene?
I did. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cute.
Lots of returning people this week.
Just like how they don't explain Talon.
Yeah, he's like Talon is just like this Asian guy now.
And he kind of looks
not speak to me.
And he like looks a lot like what's his name? Green Hornet sidekick.
Oh, yeah, Kato.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Kato's getup, but Talon looks nothing like that in the comic books. It's
Talon's
totally
way cooler in the comics.
He's so cool looking in the comics. Like, one of my favorite villains, for sure.
Yeah, I quite liked Hugo Strange in this episode.
Yeah,
I thought it was good seeing him back. He did a cool thing.
I'm kind of over the Penguin, though, man. Like,
are you?
Yeah, I mean... I'm just so glad. One thing I can say I was happy with the Penguin is when him and Enigma met, I'm glad he didn't say, you will pay for this.
Yeah.
It's almost like at the point where you know, Jim Gordon's like, I'll give you my word. Because, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean shit. And then every episode up to this point has consisted of Jim saying, I give you my word.
Yeah.
And Penguin say, you will pay for this.
You know what my favorite line of this episode was? Was when Jim and Harvey were like, they found Hugo Strange, and Hugo Strange like explained his plan, and Harvey's like, "You logical bastard."
Oh, I know, dude. I was listening to that. I almost started chuckling because I was like, I know Christian laughed at this.
It was great. That was great.
I thought it was pretty funny. What did you... I didn't even ask you. What did you think of the episode?
I thought it was fine. I didn't think there was too much, you know, wrong with it. But yeah, I can see what you're saying. It does drag at points. It's... You don't care about the Court dragging. Of Owls. Like, yeah, they have infiltrated everything. We know what they're going to do. The Jarvis Tetch virus. Everything's coming together. We get it. I don't care about Barnes anymore. I don't care about Lee's stupid ass.
Oh, she's so annoying. I know Jim's up to something. Jeez.
And even
dude,
when like Lucius was
here.
Like, Jim is trying to stop what happened to Mario from happening to anybody else, she's like, "You're just like him."
You're just like him.
How can you say that to Lucius? He's like the nicest guy there.
Right.
And then like Jim, I love Jim though, when he was like, "I'm done apologizing for it. He was going to kill you. Fuck you."
I know, right?
I was like, yes! Go, Jim!
Yeah! All right. But, I mean, Bruce is becoming Batman.
Yeah, and Barnes has been set on Jim because Jim was a part of the Court of Owls for 30 minutes of Gotham.
right.
Riddler, Penguin at the end. Do you care about that anymore?
No.
You feel like that's overdone by now? Like,
I feel like the Penguin is overdone now. Even though I kind of pushed them off.
It's like, it was nice when they brought back Mr. Freeze, like, last week, and Firefly, but then they didn't really do any. Like, Firefly lit some guy on fire, Talon. That was pretty cool. She fucking murdered Talon. I thought that was cool.
It'd been cool if they kind of, like, had, like, a little team-up where, like, Mr. Freeze is freezing people, and then Firefly is setting people on fire, trying to help Jim out. That'd been cool. And then you just got the Penguin in there, and I'm just like, what is this little gimp bastard going to do in a fight?
Like, I liked the scene with him and Jim in the alley. Like, I thought that felt like kind of Gotham. Like, it felt like kind of, you know, we're doing this on the DL kind of thing. I'm going to threaten you. You're going to whatever. Like, I thought that felt very Gotham. But like you say, it's the same scene we've seen everywhere in the show.
Right.
You know, but.
Well, it's just they're doing the same things, just in a little slightly different way.
Like, if we move it somewhere, they'll never notice.
Right.
They're like, let's do it in the police station this time.
All right. Let's get to gradings. What would you grade this episode?
I give this episode a 7.5.
7.5. I'd give it like a 6.5. Just couldn't get into it, man. I just didn't feel like it was really up to par for where it is in the season. I guess you kind of see what is the overarching theme of the season, kind of, and you're still unclear of what they're really moving towards.
It's very hard. Because the CW shows are just so far beyond it.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, it's
leaps and bounds better.
It's like, I like talking about Gotham. Gotham's great, but, like, it's like other shows you cannot wait to talk about.
I know, right?
So, that wraps up Gotham. We're moving into some other shows now.
Some Supergirl.
Supergirl, Season 2, Episode 21,
oh,
Resist. Yeah. Supergirl struggles to decide whether or not to obey the president's orders regarding Reyes' latest actions. Meanwhile, Cat Grant returns to National City. This episode was full of returns. People coming back.
Returns.
Let
me
think?
Get out this rant, right? Oh, so they have this big buildup. For this, like, Lena Luthor and Mon-El wedding that yielded no results,
I knew
dude.
That was going to happen.
I was like, this, you got to be kidding me.
I like that you mentioned Lena, because let me tell you something, right? When you complained about her acting, the actress who plays Lena, you were saying, oh, I don't think she's a very good actress, right? A couple episodes after that, I was watching, I'm like, wow. Is she not American? Because she really sounds like she cannot speak English. Like, it sounds like her accent is terrible. Like, is she putting on American accent, or is she just pretending to, like, talk different because she's Lena? So I looked it up, and she's Irish, and I was like, it's obvious now, she's just shit at an American accent, and that is why her acting is so poor, because she's focusing so bad on it.
I know.
And it's not good.
She's so pretty, though.
Yeah, she's amazing. And I should have known, because she was in the fucking BBC Robin Hood series, and I watched that series. She played Lady Gwen.
Right.
Gwen, I believe. Whatever. Right. She was hot.
And was she good in there?
She was. She was a good Irish actress. But, yeah, her American accent is terrible.
Right.
It's really bad.
So, oh, man. Was it just me, or did the whole wedding build-up just bug you?
I didn't care about it. I mean, it just, you know, it was whatever. It was, we're not going to get married, and I'm going to force you to get married, because if you don't get married, I'm going to blow up this children's hospital. You know, and, like, I understand it. I understand why Rhea wanted them to get married. You know,
yeah.
Obviously she's trying to create new Daxam and all this shit. But a lot of things didn't really make sense.
That's what I'm saying. There's so many loopholes in this episode.
So one of the things is, why would Kara go back to try to save her? We know, because she's a hero. But that doesn't really make too much sense. And the only way you get the ending you get is if she knows that they will almost stop her, and somehow she gets Superman to come to her side, which I know you hate. I can't wait for you to talk about how you hate how Superman was evil. I'm ready for you to go off on this thing, but how does this work, right? I know what you're talking about, this loophole. Why would she even need him if she's going to take over Earth? Like, already. She can't know that they have that cannon at the DEO, and that they're going to blow up her ship, and it's going to take out all the other ship's power or whatever. They can't know that. So when does she go and find Superman, find a way to turn him evil, probably with the red stone, red kryptonite or whatever. Who knows?
Maybe.
We'll have to talk about.
Well,
what
no,
we
because
happened,
red
but.
Kryptonite only releases his, you know, his inhibitions.
Yeah, makes him more angry, I think, doesn't it?
No.
Blue kryptonite.
No, blue anger. Kryptonite takes away his powers.
Oh, god damn it! I'm so
Maybe,
bad with kryptonite, man.
So
like I know
red
green
kryptonite basically like low, like he would be able to. It's like the effects of alcohol, essentially.
Okay.
Like lowers your inhibitions, like makes it to do like, you know, normally you wouldn't be able to talk to a girl or whatever.
So we're just gonna assume it has nothing to do with kryptonite, then.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't understand how it could. I mean, I don't know if kryptonite that mind controls him.
No, I don't think any does. But do you think he obviously is under some kind of mind control thing
or
another?
Yeah.
But what did you think of that whole thing, him coming in?
I was just like, what the hell is this? It's just so random. Because like on the previews, we see him and we see him fighting in the city, yet we don't get any of those scenes. So apparently
that's next week. He's fighting Kara.
But no, like in this week's preview from last week.
Really?
Yes, because I watch every preview.
Yeah.
And I was like super bugged by it. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was just like, and then the fact she's like, Superman. Why would she not just call him like Kal-El? Like, or I mean, obviously
you're not going to call him Clark, but well, I mean,
like,
who cares? Rhea probably knows. Like it doesn't, I don't know.
I was super confused. Where did she even like find him?
I don't know how this works. We'll find all that out.
I was
out,
super
but
annoyed by all this. I was just like, this episode is so inconsistent. But it's like has like a good tone to it.
I liked the episode a lot. I like Cat Grant. I mean,
he started on that fucking bitch. I like Cat Grant in the show. I like her character. But then it's just like this overuse of the fucking feminist propaganda bullshit.
You know she's married to Harrison Ford?
Really?
And I know you don't like Han Solo, so just thought I'd throw that out.
She's the devil.
Yeah, her whole woman power thing kind of was whatever.
It was a bit much. I mean, obviously, we've seen her on the show before, and she's all for feminism, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with feminism, but it was just like more or less just the tone of, we're women and we're above fighting and.
Yeah, but I liked her.
Like, oh, fuck yourself, you stupid fucking dusty bitch.
I liked her like, oh, thank you, Jimmy. Like she knew it was Jimmy.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was hilarious.
That was funny. And then when she was talking to Kara and she said it's not, she said it's not what you do, it's who you love, which doesn't really make sense. But I liked it at the time, but the more you think about it, the less sense it makes. It's like it is about what you do, right? It is all about what you do.
Right.
You know, like, and you do the things you do because of who you love. But it is all about what you do. It's like one of the lines from The Lord of the Rings that gets taken out of context all the time that Gandalf says. That's not for us to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given. That's given us, is what the line is.
Oh my gosh.
But, yeah, taken out of context all the time.
Seriously, dude.
Yeah, I can rant about that for an hour, so let's not talk about it. talk about Superman. I know you have anger built up about this, all right? So, Superman...
It's just fucking ridiculous, man. Like, why? Why every time Superman's in something, oh, let's fucking make him evil. Let's make him fucking shit. Let's use the version of him that doesn't fucking exist except for in fucking Injustice!
All right, yeah, fair enough. Lillian Luthor and Kara teamed up, and then she betrayed Kara, but whatever, they had a failsafe. And guess what, guys? Kara didn't give a shit because she went back for Rhea for no reason!
Right.
Like, if she would have left, the whole Superman being evil wouldn't have mattered because that ship would have got blown up. So it's like fucking loophole after loophole. Okay, anyway. Linda Carter, obviously, back as president. She plays the president, who is an alien.
I'm an alien.
Yeah, and everybody now knows she's an alien. Whatever. What do you grade this episode? All right, I'll give it a
6.
I gave it a 7.2. I know the loopholes are a problem, but... They really wanted to make Superman evil. That's why they did all this.
So, okay, here's the thing. It wasn't a bad episode by any means.
No.
But there was just so many overwhelming loopholes in this episode and so many buildups that had no payoff at all. Like, what the hell was with that wedding? That wedding scene is the one thing that bugged me the most. To build all this conflict and you start worrying about, oh, my God, what is Kara going to think? Like... How, like, she's going to feel so betrayed that no matter what, like, Mon-El still went through with it. And she's going to hate him forever for this. And then it just doesn't even happen. You're just like, what the fuck was all this fucking build-up for? Why? Why?
Why would you do this to me?
I'm just like, I don't... Like, I'd much rather have that... I don't necessarily agree with the plan in the first place. But I'd much rather them just see it through and let's find out what happens kind of thing.
But they couldn't
rather
do
than
that.
Just... Oh, no, never mind.
They couldn't
see
it through.
It's like, okay, here's the analogy. It's like almost sneezing and then it goes away. It's the most infuriating fucking feeling on this earth.
It's even worse when I know Scott's about to sneeze and I say bless you before he sneezes. And it never comes. And then he wants to kill me.
Yeah, pretty much, guys.
Yeah.
Next time you do that to me, I'm going to fucking punch you in the face.
So Supergirl, I mean, I really enjoyed this episode, but the loopholes made it too
much. We have to be
much. Yeah,
we have to be
honest.
More objective than we have been in the past. You can give something a lower rating and still enjoy the episode, guys. Yeah. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
It's not like I thought the episode was complete shit.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the Flash.
Alright, The Flash, Season 3, Episode 22, Infantino Street. Barry chooses to use any means necessary to save the woman he loves. Flash turns to Captain Cold for help.
Alright, yeah.
Alright, grading.
So, was the episode. Scott just asked me about Infantino, the name, what the significance is. That is the last name of the gentleman who created most of the rogues in the Rogues Gallery, including Reverse Flash.
A great tribute, my friend.
Yes.
What a tribute.
Yes.
What do you think of this episode, though?
I really like this episode.
Dude, this episode was phenomenal.
This episode is bringing things to a head, and I'm going to tell you this theory that is not my own, so I have to give credit where it's due. This is a theory that I read about how Iris is still alive. But do you want to talk about the episode first before we get into that?
Oh, okay. I can guess what the theory is. I can guess what it is. What it is.
Go ahead.
Bro.
Go ahead.
It's fucking HR, dude.
Yeah.
He used a little transmogrifier, dude.
Yeah.
I just thought, because you said, how she could not. Sorry to steal your thunder, dude.
It's
all right.
It's all right.
But it, I mean.
Because.
Dude, no, because.
It makes sense.
I literally thought about that while I was watching it. And I was like, oh, dude, that'd be pretty brilliant. Because at the one time, Savitar, like. Like, it was, like, yelling at him. They both weren't looking at Iris.
Well, and then when he was running around and he was shooting him with a speed gun, perfect opportunity.
Exactly.
To swap him out. And the fact that he doesn't feel like he has a place, he doesn't feel like he's contributed anything. And then Cisco was like, dude, you always come through for us. Like, and the transmogrifier they used in this episode, meaning, you know, it's
okay, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, it all kind of ties in. It feels like this is what we've been building to.
So, okay, remember everybody was talking about why are they pushing the HR love story so much?
Because they're going to kill him. Yeah.
Do we think that we're going to kill him? But here's another thing. They explained why Iris did not have the ring on, and I thought it was so brilliant.
Yeah,
it was so subtle, so brilliant, because she gave it to Joe.
Yep.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy. It's so crazy. I was just like, mind blown. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, exactly. And that this is all, like, not even talking about the Captain Cold stuff, where, you know, we kind of he explains to us as the audience how Barry will defeat Savitar, and it's with his goodness. You know, Barry had so many opportunities in this episode to cross the line, to let Captain Cold die, to do all, and, you know, he was trying to be this guy who breaks boundaries to do whatever it takes. You know, and he kind of did when he impersonated Lila and all this stuff and broke an Argus, but at the same time, he's still a great person. He's a hero.
Every hero has their weak moments.
Yeah. You know, when he was talking to Barry at the end after Barry brought him back, what he said to Barry is exactly what he said before he committed, well, saved the rest of the legends by, you know, sacrificing himself.
Right.
So,
you'll be missed, my friend.
Tells me, like, Barry inspired him to do that, you know? That,
right.
All this fun time stuff.
Sick one.
So, what did you think of, like, the heist thing?
I thought it was a clever concept, but I just think that, you know, the whole episode was way overshadowed by, you know, the ending that we've already seen the scene, but to literally see it happen as it's literally actually happening was just like,
yeah, and we knew that what they were doing didn't matter, especially because even Savitar said, he's like, no power source can stop a god. We find out why it couldn't stop him, and that's because he had the Philosopher's Stone, and we find out what that is finally. It's a piece of the actual Speed Force, which is, like, ridiculously powerful. Like, obviously, like, holding a piece of the actual Speed Force. Brilliant.
Brilliant, mate.
So, just a quick Easter egg. Cheetah.
Oh, my God, dude. I flipped the fuck out.
I know.
So they're looking through their, Suicide Squad lineup, and they got to where the power of the alien tech is the power source that Barry plans on using.
Mm-hmm.
And they you see the people we've already been introduced, and then you see a door where it says cheat on it, and you're just like,
meow. Yeah, they're doing their animal based
Suicide Squad,
which will probably be for season 4 of The Flash or Arrow, maybe, or maybe for the crossover. We'll have to see.
We also have Grodd locked up in there,
and
pretty exciting
Cupid
shit.
And King Shark. And let me tell you, Captain Cold's shark knowledge was pretty amazing.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, this is cool.
So Iris went to Earth 2.
Right.
My question is, even if that was Barry who came in to Star Labs, why would HR tell him she's safely on Earth 2? Because once Barry knows, Savitar knows. So why would he ever say that to begin with? And we could, it just slipped out.
Right.
Because that's what it seemed like.
That's what it is. It slipped out. It was an accident.
Yeah, but he seemed like he wasn't really bothered by it until he turned around and knew it wasn't Barry. You know, and it's like,
because I don't think he thought of it in that terms.
Yeah, and it's hard because who really thinks like that? You know, it's like, oh, anything you say to Barry could potentially cost Iris's life, you know?
Right.
So it's like you have to be on alert. But it does make sense that it just slipped out, obviously. So Savitar took Wally out pretty handily, so that's why we know he's a non-factor. He'll probably be a non-factor in the finale. He got Iris, and looks like he killed her, but I'm pretty sure he didn't kill her. We know Iris isn't dead, right?
Maybe. In a way, I kind of hope they did. It sucks, man, because it's like you're always looking for that super big shock factor, something that you just don't think that they'll go through with.
I don't think they did, yeah. I think it's a big, you know, they're gonna
it's a big ruse that they're trying to make it seem like, oh, haha, look at us, we are so tricky. But
did we see anybody else's
it.
Reaction? Like, did we see Joe on the roof reacting?
Yeah,
he was crying. Maybe nobody knew. Like, we obviously Barry couldn't have known, because if he knew, Savitar would have known, right?
I think it was a last-minute thing, because remember, like, how he essentially was almost saying a goodbye to Sisko?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. And I was like, oh, he's gonna do it. He's going to transmogrify the shit out of himself. So Sisko's fighting Killer Frost. That's another thing we didn't talk about. Do you think he'll change what he's vibed? His hands getting destroyed, all this stuff?
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen.
You think she'll come back to the light?
Yeah.
She was trying to put doubt in Savitar's mind in this episode. You know?
She was just trying to see whether or not he would actually go through with it. I don't think necessarily she was trying to create doubt. She was trying to see whether or not his doubt would hold him back.
I feel like she was trying to like put it in there, like, oh, you can't really, you're not really gonna go through with it, are you? Like, blah blah blah. But I feel like this scene was for the fans. This was the scene where they explained to us who had the questions, how can Barry kill Iris? You know, how can this Barry kill Iris? And that's why that scene existed, was for us to know why he's going to kill her.
Right.
So, what would you grade The Flash this week?
I would give it a 9.4. It was really good.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, actually. So, all right. That is The Flash. It is time to move into our final show of the week. Arrow. Arrow, Season 5, Episode 22, Missing. Black Siren returns to give Chase help. Felicity plans a birthday party for Oliver. Lance is angry with Renee for missing the custody hearing about his daughter.
What?
A lot of stuff happened this episode.
Let's talk about the birthday party first. How funny was it when he flipped Curtis over his shoulder?
Oh, yeah. He thought, like, they broke in or something. He's like, ah! And then Curtis was like, if I had my teeth spheres, I could have taken him.
He's like, if I had my teeth spheres, And Oliver's like, you could have what?
Yeah, dude, but how cool is that cake?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Would you eat that cake?
I would absolutely eat that cake.
I don't believe you.
It had Green Arrow on it, like a little chibi-looking Green Arrow. I thought it was cool. Anyway, so Alicity is a thing again?
Yeah, seems like it.
How do you feel about that?
It's whatever. I'm over it.
Felicity didn't bother me at all in this episode, so
nope,
that's a thing.
Nope, not at all.
What did you think of the flashbacks in this episode? The idea, you know, Oliver getting tortured.
I thought it was really good. And see, bringing back the point. So was it all a ruse? Is Chase really that dude's son or something? Because he literally just is quoting the guy at this point.
Kovar?
Yes. I'm so confused. And I'm like looking at him, I was like, they kind of do look alike. I'm trying to figure out. Because like he's saying, okay, yeah, my dad was this meaningless dude in Oliver's past that he killed or whatever. And it's like, okay, you kind of understand. But if he's Kovar's son,
it's possible. What?
It brings a whole different meaning to like.
I
what
think you're onto something here.
Because like, no, seriously, how many times have I pointed out? I'm like, dude, he's literally quoting this guy.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Saying all the same thing. How would he know exactly what Kovar has said? Because you're assuming eventually Oliver kills Kovar.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's found on the island alone, so, I
don't know,
man. I think it has to be right. Why else bring Kovar back?
Right.
You know, what's the point of it? Like, obviously, Laurel's, you know, the imagination of Laurel saves Oliver and things like that, where he almost kills himself, but...
And then the idea of, like, him, like, you know, the people closest to him, his friends and families, will pay for his sins. Literally something Kovar said in his past. Literally Adrian Chase yet again quoting him and stuff. I'm just like, this is too much stuff adding up. I just almost wonder if this is the case, and he's just he's hit it very well, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously Black Siren is back. What'd you think of her in this episode?
Yummy.
Besides how yummy she looks.
Yummy. She's good. She's all right.
Yeah, I liked you know, the kind of thing with like her dad kind of her dad, whatever.
Or with Lance.
Yeah. That was interesting. Why did Oliver send Diggle and Felicity away? Like, immediately when he did that, I was like, oh, Chase wants him to send them away. This is obvious. You know? Right. It's like...
But he... I don't know. He's just making emotional decisions. And
yeah,
like,
he's overthinking everything. Like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm going to do something Chase wouldn't expect, which is the exact thing that Chase would expect because he knows that you send everybody away. That's his entire point all season. Yeah, that was interesting. That kind of bugged me a little bit, but... And then the lady with the swords, all they had to do was turn the car around, and Diggle's just like, watch this, I'm going to drive right at her.
I know, right? I mean, you assume, though, if they try to drive away something, they would pop their tire or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so let's talk about the return of Malcolm Merlyn, the return of Nissa Al Ghul, and the return of Deathstroke.
Sick. I'm so hyped for all of them to be in the one episode.
I'm hyped for Ollie's team. This is a great team. I like this team better than his regular team. what's confusing, I guess, is we don't know where Renee is or Dinah. Because they weren't kidnapped. But they probably were. They're probably just being kept somewhere separate, right?
Right.
I don't know.
Probably has like a contingency plan that they think like, oh, yeah, we'll go and free
these
people.
And William.
Yeah, and William's in a different place. Tough stuff there.
Yeah, I'm excited about Nissa. I liked Malcolm a lot in this episode as well. And obviously Deathstroke.
What?
Cannot fucking wait for that.
Can't fucking wait, mate.
So they're going back to Lian Yu.
Oh, yes, Lian Yu. Sorry, getting a little ahead of myself. But next week's preview, fucking Captain Boomerang's fucking back, baby. I fucking caught it 2 weeks ago when I was like...
When you were choking?
Yes. When I was saying, oh, man, whatever happened to Captain Boomerang, they just, like, stormed away, and they're just never going to use, like, one of the gray characters in the Rogues. You know what I mean? And I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, what, just throw away a gray character, and look who's back. Look who fucking called it. Yet again, one of the fucking nutty boys, mate. I am fucking always right.
Yeah. To be honest, that's about all that happened in this episode. But they're going all back
right,
to Lian Yu. 9.6.
9.6. So that wraps up all of our reviews, all of our ratings. And now it's time for drum roll, please. I don't know if you could hear that, but that was a drum roll.
That was a pretty shit drum roll.
Hey, fuck off, all right? Winners and losers.
Era 1.
Gotham lost.
wait, I think I gave Supergirl a lower grade than Gotham. Yeah, I did. I did. You didn't. Wait, did you? You did.
Oh,
yeah.
Supergirl lost.
Supergirl lost.
Just kidding.
Joke's on you.
Oh, there is one piece of news that we did decide to leave out on purpose. So the CW released all the synopsis for all their fall shows already, but due to the fact that we're still in this in the season wrap up essentially of three of their shows being Supergirl, Arrow, and The Flash, we don't want to know what's happening next season because that could ruin what happens in the finales.
True.
Ooh, sorry guys. So we're gonna wait until after the finales happen and then we'll talk about the synopsises afterwards. First, we'll give our predictions on what could happen next season, and then we'll talk about the synopsis.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for the finales this week. Obviously, Gotham will not be wrapping up this week because they took a year break in the middle of their season. But yeah, we'll be continuing to talk about Gotham, you know, until it ends, obviously, this season.
So remember when we're like, why are they taking such a long break? I mean, there's probably probably a better reason. But didn't like the actor that plays Gordon and the actor or the actress that plays they had a baby. So isn't that probably why they just took a long ass break?
Could be. Yeah. She was.
I was just thinking. It was just some random thought. Sorry.
Yeah, but you'd think they would plan a little bit there for that there.
All right, guys. That's all we got on this week's podcast. As always, make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media. You get cool updates and whatnot. And good way to interact with us. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat. We have an awesome website designed by Christian himself, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. It's pretty awesome. There's a lot of good features on there. From if you ever miss a episode, I mean, ever miss a podcast, you guys can always go on there and check out our episode grades, give you a kind of idea of what we thought of the episode, just kind of generalize. There's, you know, our homepage with all of our links to all of our social media, easy access for you guys. We also have a YouTube channel now that we're trying to develop that we have a couple reaction videos for, and we would love it if you guys went by, dropped us a subscribe, dropped us a like on our videos. If you enjoy the content, of course, go check out the content. And then if you guys have any feedback for us, good or bad, let us know in the comment section below on those videos. Because any feedback is good feedback for us, as well as share the YouTube videos with all your friends and family. Help our YouTube channel grow.
Yeah, and if you have any suggestions of other things you want us to either react to or talk about, we talked about this is a possibility, not anything set in stone. We talked about maybe doing some comic book reviews through YouTube.
Right.
So if you guys would be interested in that at all, let us know.
Yes, or just an idea that I had. Let us know on Twitter if you guys would be interested in us doing some sort of cosplay, you know, sort of, you
know. Update
tutorials. Yeah, tutorial or something. I don't know. Something to do with more of the cosplaying side of things. Something that we're both very avidly interested in. So let us know on social media of some sort. But that's all we guys. That's all we got for you guys. We're going to be really busy over these next couple weeks. So please be patient with content being published for you guys. We are going to be working on it, but we're also moving and working, and we have a lot of stuff going on. So please be patient. That's all we got for sure. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian. And as always, stay nerdy, boys.